how many task forces are we going to send?
House Committee on Revenue for April 28, 2009 will come to order. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2472. Chris, would you talk to us about the Dash 23 amendment?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Dash 23 is identical to the Dash 22 with one change. And you can see that if you're looking at the Dash 23s on page 7. And this is the portion of the bill that modifies the $20 million cap. So for those projects that are eligible for the $20 million cap, it reduces it to $15 million for those projects with a capacity greater than 20 megawatts. And so the way the bill does that is that it changes the 20 to 15 there on line 19, page 7, so kind of the default position. And then in lines 22 through 25, it states that it's $20 million for facilities with capacity of 20 megawatts or less and user-produced renewable energy or the high-efficiency combined heat and power. So basically that takes what is in current law, the $20 million category, and creates two subcategories for that.
Okay. Would you go through the rest of it for us and then go to the revenue statement?
Sure.
Impact statement.
Okay. Starting with the Dash 23 on page 1, the section 2 was a piece that was in the original 3411, and it pertains to the criteria for projects of $5 million or more. And it describes that the Department of Energy may not issue a preliminary certification depending on certain criteria. And the way those are stated now, the first one there on line 14, the applicant has applied for all licenses and permits required by state or local. That had been changed. And initially it was required to receive them. Now it's applied. The second one is that they're not in arrears on any tax owed to the state or local government. The third one is that, to the satisfaction of the department, the facility appears that it will be in continuous operation for at least 5 years. And then moving to subsection 3, the language allows the Department of Energy to consider. Prior, the language referred to may deny, and now says may consider a number of criteria. And those four criteria are the jobs that would be created by the facility, the economic benefits of the facility, the revenue impact of granting the certification as compared to the project benefits, and whether or not the construction of the facility is dependent upon the certification. It was in this section, in the original 3411, there was also a criterion related to an environmental impact. That's been deleted. And then subsection 4 states that for them to get a final certification, they have to have received all of the permits. Oh, wait. No. Subsection 4 says that the Department of Revenue may not pay interest on the amounts claimed by a transferee upon the purchase of a credit and the filing of an amended return. That has been in all of the versions.
And standard language when we make changes in tax.
And then Section 5 was what I was just speaking to before. It says they may not issue a final certificate unless the applicant has received all of the appropriate permits and licenses required by state or local law. And also the department can condition the granting of a certificate on the applicant continuing to meet the above mentioned criteria. So kind of on an ongoing basis. Section 3, the change there happens on page 6, where you have some bold language relating to electric vehicle manufacturers. And this is the way this is approached, is that these manufacturers are part of the definition of the renewable energy equipment manufacturing facility. So it makes these manufacturers eligible for the $40 million credit, or the $40 million cap. Section 4, we just discussed, those are the changes to the $20 million cap category. And then turning over to on the bottom of page 8, line 30, and up to lines 1 through 7 of page 9, this is the portion of the original 3411 that would allow the Department of Energy to treat multiple applications from one applicant or at the same site to be treated as a single application if they're in close proximity or so if the department determines that they're essentially one project. The next change in Section 5, the language there is on page 10, and this is mostly a deletion. It's on lines 16 and 17, and this is the elimination of the automatic 10% increase in the credit due to project costs that exceed the original estimate in the preliminary certification. In Section 6, it adds a condition pertaining to the pre-certs, just information that needs to, that the Department of Energy can require for the pre-certification process that's been in there since the original 3411. And then on page 12, Section 7 is the applicability section, and the bill would apply to preliminary certifications issued on or after the effective date of the Act. And then Section 8 is just takes effect on the 91st day signing down. So that's what's in the Dash 23s. You also have in your packet a revenue impact statement for the Dash 23s. So the measure description is just what we went through. The revenue impact here is based on information from the Department of Energy, and those are a net impact. So in 09-11, there would be a revenue gain of $8.9 million, and then $24 million in 11-13, and then $32 million in 13-15. And that is a net number because most of the provisions, as the committee is aware, in one way or another restrict the amount of credit that can be claimed. The one piece that is a would result in a revenue loss is the inclusion of the electrical vehicle manufacturers. Right. So the number that you have there is the net impact of all of the changes embodied in the Dash 23 amendment.
And that assumes that there that sometime in the next 2 years we get some electrical vehicle manufacturers. Does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So that's it's the optimistic version. The pessimistic version would actually raise more money.
You could characterize it that way, Mr. Chair, yes.
Yeah. Well, if the object, if one of our objects is to stabilize the economy and increase the number of jobs, then I think I've characterized it correctly, even though this committee's job is to raise money. All right.
I would point out on the impact statement there, according to your rules adopted at the beginning of session, because the bill does expand the credit in one way, there is a statement of purpose for expanding the credit. So I put some language in there for you to discuss and edit as you see fit, because it is a statement that is intended to reflect the committee. So I just put some language there for editing purposes. So what I've written there is that the purpose of the bill is to increase the focus of the credit in areas related to economic development while reducing the overall cost of the credit. So, again, that's just language to be edited by the committee as you see fit.
Okay. Your what's discussion? Comments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Call.
I have just a couple questions. Chris, on the revenue impact statement, what does the $2.8 million signify? Is that how much? Is that less tax credits people are going to be receiving or applying for?
Correct.
So we're going to see $2.8 million of money in the general fund that would not otherwise be there
in the next month.
Right, if these provisions are adopted, yes.
And
6 months, 8 months.
It seems to me that this is a significantly smaller number than if you look at some of the other amendments, am I misunderstanding?
That's 1 year.
That's a one-year item.
That's a one-year item.
Right, but if we look back, if we look at this, or these original estimates, we see a Dash 7 that produces the Dash 7 produces $16.8 million over 2 years. The Dash 5, 11 point, or the Dash 6, which is the 10% reduction, which is in here, which is $10 million over 2 years. I mean, still, this is almost half of the amount of revenue that the other combined amendments, more than half of the combined of the combined amendments from before. So I'm just trying to understand how that's occurred.
The amendments went through a number of changes. For example, those original estimates related to the $20 million cap was reduced to $10 million for all projects.
That means I like it less.
And now for projects up to 20 megawatts capacity, it's an unchanged. They're maintained at a $20 million cap. And other projects are only reduced to $15 million instead of $10 million. So all of those, for the most part, the reduction in the savings are due to changes that have been adopted or that are contained in the Dash 23 as compared to some of the earlier amendments that were discussed.
And, Mr. Chair,
please.
Are the Dash 18s not included in this combined amendment? It didn't seem like we talked about that. Representative Nathanson had come to testify about removing the gasoline hybrid vehicles tax credit to create a capacity for another tax credit that's been entertained in the Transportation Committee with regards to fully electric vehicles.
That's correct. In the discussion that we had earlier, we note that this relates to business energy tax credits. So the credit for consumer purchase of hybrid vehicles doesn't fit the relating clause. And we have a bill that came over from the Sustainability Committee. Is it 2180?
Yes.
2180. Boy, I remembered a bill number. That's unusual. That either deals with this issue already or within which that issue could be dealt with. And it's fully my intention that we get to that bill and see if we can work it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Graney, do you have anything to add to this particular topic on the revenue impact?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mike Graney from Department of Energy. No, I think, as Chris said, there were substantial changes from some of the earlier amendments that you considered that did have higher revenue impacts. For example, the offset of the Energy Trust Grant was one, and the reductions that Chris mentioned in the changes. So I think that's the reason for the difference in the revenue impact.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly fits with the numbers that we're talking about. I am a little bit startled about the fact that we did take out the 10% automatic increase, which we have down on our list here as a $10 million item, and even with that, we still only end up with $8.9 million impact, so that must mean that the other impacts must be essentially zero.
Please. Part of that, yeah. Mr. Chair, is in these preliminary numbers came from the Department of Energy,
mm-hmm.
and the way there is a method issue in terms of how they get assigned to the biennium, and the way the Department of Energy does these, they assign them to tax year, and then they just kind of evenly divide them among the fiscal years. And the revenue impacts that we do, we look at the impact on tax liability and then how that would show up in the revenue streams. So there just generally tends to be a difference in taking the energy numbers and then translating them into the revenue streams. So
sure.
Part of that $10 million impact they had assigned in 09-11 actually shows up in 11-13.
Okay.
It has to do with the liability to collections issue.
That makes a lot of sense. And then the other point I had, I guess, was the difference between the 22s and the 23s must be very close to the effect of the Dash 7s, the 16.8. Is that a reasonable way of characterizing that?
I believe so. The Dash 22s, I don't have that in front of me, the revenue impact there was in the mid to higher teens for 09-11.
Right, and I'm assuming the difference, obviously, is because of the change in Section 4.
Yes.
On the limitations. Representative Bailey.
Mr. Chair, are you looking for a motion on the Dash 20?
I think we've worked this bill about as far as we can. In fact, I'm getting some laughs down there, maybe a lot further than we should have. And it probably is time to send it out. Do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 23 amendments dated 4-23-09 to House Bill 2472.
Representative Bailey moves the Dash 23 amendments to House Bill 2472. Is there a discussion? Is there any objection to the amendment? I don't see any of the amendments adopted. Representative Bailey?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2472 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bailey moves House Bill 2472 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. This doesn't have a subsequent, does it? Unlike so many of our other bills that we seem to be considering. Discussion on the bill. Representative Bruin.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have enjoyed this discussion. I don't know how many hours we've had on it, but probably in my legislative career, it has been second only committee hours to the time we spent on House Bill 2009 in the Health Care Committee, so it's right up there. Mr. Chair, I'm going to be a no vote on this, and I don't say that as it's an easy thing to do. I guess I get to that and hopefully send a message in that we've spent so many hours on this and we're on the Dash 23 amendments that something isn't clear and black and white on this. And so I think, and I may be the only one, but that's okay. I think it lets people know that a lot of talented people spent a lot of time on this. We got to Dash 23, and I still don't think there's a real consensus on what we're fixing because I don't think anybody really agrees on exactly what was wrong. I think we have 10 different opinions, frankly, on if there is problems, what those are, and how to fix those. From my perspective, Mr. Chair, this has been one of those rare, looking at the Betsy as a whole, one of those rare programs, one of those rare government programs where it has been a wild success, far surpassed our expectation of success, and that's part of why we're having this discussion. For me, I look at the Betsy, and I look at something that creates jobs. I think it creates helps propel those industries of tomorrow that we want Oregon to compete in, and it helps meet those environmental standards, not only the renewable portfolio standards, but those non-fossil fuel energy sources that we all want. So it is with a little bit of reservation, but a lot of pride, frankly, in the success of Betsy that I will be a no vote and perhaps the only no vote.
Thank you. Other discussion, Representative Call.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to state for the record that I am with great reluctance a yes vote today. I agree with every single policy in here, save the new cap, the new reduction. You know, this is, as I've said before, a zero-sum process, and every dollar we can squeeze out of the Betsy right now are necessary services to the most needy in our state and our communities that we can fund. And every dollar that we leave on the table here today is a service foregone. And I think that this is an opportunity we're missing here, a great opportunity to fill the hole and to try to help our state and help the people who are being left behind right now. I don't discount the value of the jobs that are created by the Betsy. I think that they're very important. I don't discount the importance of the economic development. I think that too is very important. But there are also real jobs on the line as well with regards to the amount of cuts that we're going to be making. And I don't think anybody can argue that the cuts that we're entertaining are going to have as drastic an effect on our economy as any tax credit or incentive we give to business this legislative session. And the cuts that we're thinking about doing, the cuts that are waiting for us on the horizon, are going to have drastic economic results. And I really do think that this bill was an opportunity to forestall some of those results, and it's a missed opportunity. But you do have my yes vote.
Thank you, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, from the very beginning, has been primarily about one thing for me, and that's jobs. And in this state, jobs look different in different parts of the state. And we spend an awful lot of time talking about wind projects, and those are primarily in eastern Oregon, in those areas where every single job has significant impact. And we had a conversation, Mr. Chair, just, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, several amendments ago, and I said at that point I was a no. I'm a no today, however. I do reserve the right to change that vote on the floor. I have moved closer to a yes as we have gone through this process, and I'm still trying to rectify that number one goal for me, which is jobs.
Thank you. Representative Berger?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I carried the Betsy and expansion of the Betsy's over the last two sessions. I am a huge fan of the Betsy. It is a program that, as Representative Bruin so aptly pointed out, is sort of a victim of its own success, and that bothers me a lot that we shouldn't just be sitting here celebrating the jobs and the good things we've gotten from the Betsy. That being said, what I think we have attempted to do here is take a scalpel to the body of the Betsy and carve out large wind projects that we see as not being substantially necessary for the Betsy to be getting a tax credit, and leave all the good things that we want the Betsy to do in there. I think we have been successful in that surgery in the Dash 23s. Therefore, I will support the Dash 23s for the hard work that we have done and for your sincere efforts to make it work. I worry a lot that we aren't that good as surgeons, and we've hurt what I believe is just one of the best things that we can do to create jobs and keep our economy and our green economy lively and positive for the state. So I will support this with great reservation and hope continued great success for the Betsy in its main purpose, which is supporting our green jobs and our green economy and keeping us moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Benz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I join Representative Berger in her remarks, although I don't think I share maybe as much reluctance in the yes vote that I plan on making. I think the effort that we put gives the Department of Energy more tools to do a better job, not because they haven't been doing a good job, but maybe a more refined ability to address some of the challenging issues that come up. For example, the site situation, which could lend itself to abuse. And I think there's a number of things in this bill that will allow the department more opportunity to fine-tune what is a very good program. I was particularly happy with the 20 megawatt or less device, which according to OSU is a better job generator than larger projects. And I'm aware of just how much work this took because I was on the subgroup that worked on it. But you know, when you're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, you should take the time necessary. I think we've done that. I think it's a good product.
Thank you. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to underscore what Representative Benson and Representative Berger said, and hope that we are, in our efforts today, also sending a message that we believe in the Betsy program and that we're trying to make it more effective. I hope that people are not misreading this as a turn by the state away from our efforts to stimulate and support and promote the green economy, and that, in fact, this is an effort to make sure that the Betsy is more effective, more well-supported, and has a long future.
Thank you. Others? Let me add just a couple of remarks of my own. I've believed all along that the Betsy is an important aspect of us getting to sustainable energy in Oregon. Energy costs are going to go through the roof as fossil fuels run out, or as the political situation in parts of the world where much of our oil comes from, or oil for the world comes from, becomes unstable. We saw what happened last summer when demand exceeded the capacity of refineries to produce enough fuel, and speculators then ran off with price increases. I know that the reason why fossil fuel prices are lower now is because of the recession and the reduction in demand, and not because the supply problem has been solved. It never will be solved. Oregon will have better energy prices, lower energy prices in the long run by going through this process and establishing renewable energy as the main source of energy for Oregonians over time than places that do not take the time and spend the money and involve themselves in the effort to do that. we will be able to look back on this era as an era when we made very good decisions in the planning process. I agree completely with many of the remarks that have already been made, and I think it's important to emphasize Representative Reed's remark that the Betsy is an important, and simply add my own comment, that the Betsy is an important tool, but it's a tool that needs continuous refinement. I think that the one way that we could lose this program is by having it demonstrated that we wasted tax money that should have gone to schools, that should have gone to health care, that should have gone to public safety, but instead went to line the pockets of stockholders in London and New York. It's critically important that we continuously refine our programs so that the things that we buy with these tax credits are actually are things that Oregonians need and that will get us toward that day when we manage our energy needs in the state using renewable energy. And I think that's the goal that we all have. Giving the department this additional authority and additional responsibility is very important. We're going to be looking, I hope, for reports from them about changes as they occur. Some of the other bills that we'll be considering, I think, will give them additional authority to respond more quickly to changes in the retail environment than we've done in the past. This is a we're embarked on a course that we haven't done before. That we don't get it exactly right the first couple of tries shouldn't surprise anybody. But our job is to continue to refine this thing so that it works better. I am disappointed that it doesn't produce larger revenue, but the point of this bill is not to produce revenue. It's to make this program work efficiently, if we can manage that. It would be wonderful if it produced more revenue to deal with the budget problem that Representative Call very correctly describes, but it doesn't, and while that's disappointing, the fact that we were able to build a few more sidelines on this thing and give the department a little more authority to manage it, I think, is a benefit. Anything else? Please call the roll. And remember, colleagues, you're voting on the motion to send the bill as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Please.
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Benz.
Aye.
Representative Berger.
Aye.
Representative Bruin.
No.
Representative Delter.
Aye.
Representative Hall.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Springer.
No.
Representative
Bonner. Aye. Motion carries, and I'll carry the bill. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2472.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any of the rest of these ready to work?
We got that monster out. Oh, wait, I have another amendment.
We only got 22.
Nobody.
This isn't as bad as the...
Oh, is it big or something small?
Income tax.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Or...
Today,
on this? No, that's right. And we adopt... Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So did they come up with a tax term?
Or excuse me, a transition?
This looks simple by comparison.
I think you can do it without Representative Benz, you want to declare a conflict of interest?
Yes. Chair Barnhart, a little late, but I want the record to reflect the fact that my law firm on occasion represents people who have geothermal or no wind projects, but land upon which wind projects may be situated.
Thank you. Your conflict of interest is noted for the record. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2815. Chris?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2815, when you heard the other day, you adopted the -82 amendment. This is the bill that creates the interagency compliance network. And the bill, the 2815A, as it came to the committee, had a number of blanks in it. And the -82 filled in those blanks, as had been discussed. And those were the percentage distributions for each of the agencies. And then modifying a... some language pertaining to tax and employment, changing that to taxation or employment. You do now have in your packets the... needed paperwork. You have a revenue impact statement and a fiscal impact statement. The fiscal impact statement is unchanged from the original one that the committee got. It just has the dash A2 label on it. The revenue impact statement in here reflects the revenue from the filing fees contained in the bill, as well as an estimated impact for the compliance work. Okay. And those estimates are based on the experience in Washington State. And in reading through some of the research on their project, they had kind of a return on investment ratio that was a function of the program costs. And for Washington, over the past 5 years, their experience, that return on investment ranged from about 7.5 to 10. So I used an average ROI, if you will, of about 9, and had that phase in over the first couple of years of the project. So that's where the revenue impact there, going to the general fund and to other funds because of the taxes involved. You have the income taxes to the general fund, and then you have unemployment insurance and workers' compensation.
Okay. So this bill is now legal for us to work.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any discussion? Where your finger is.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Bailey.
I move House Bill 2815 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Not by prior reference.
Actually, it's added.
Added.
Right. Representative Bailey moves House Bill 2815 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and an added reference to the Committee on Ways and Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion. Yes, Representative Berger. Representative Gelser, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am very happy that we're moving this bill forward. I know it's had good work in a committee prior to this one. Compliance is something that I think is important not just for our revenue system but also for our businesses. I think one of the reasons that those involved in the industry support this measure is that it really does level the playing field for competition, and we shouldn't allow those who break the rules to have a competitive advantage in the marketplace. So I think this is a great bill. It's fair. It says we all need to play by the rules, and the state benefits from that as well as business. So I'll be a yes, and I look forward to seeing this come out of Ways and Means into the floor. And I thank Representative Holvey for all of his work that he's done on this.
And you'll help us get it out of Ways and Means, I hope.
Yes. Well, I'm not on Ways and Means.
No, neither am I. All right. Other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Berger.
It's a new fee. It's 9 new FTE, none of which are teachers. I'm a no.
Thank you. Other discussion? The vote is on the motion to effectively send this bill to Ways and Means. Please call the roll.
Representative Bailey.
Aye.
Representative Benz.
No.
Representative Berger.
No.
Representative Bruin.
No.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Representative Hall.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative
Springer.
No.
Chair Vaughn.
Aye. Motion, having received the required majority, is adopted, and the bill goes to the Ways and Means Committee for further consideration. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2815. And let's see. Is this one ready to work? Is it in? All right. We'll open a work session on House Bill 2105. Mazin?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Seems like difficult children day.
Is that what you call it?
Difficult children day.
And that's House Bill 2105, 2,105 times we've heard it. last time we talked about it, we were combining a number of amendments. We were combining the dash 1, dash 2, dash 3, and large segments of the dash 7, and putting them all, amalgamated all in one amendment. And you have in front of you the Dash 9 amendment. However, it seems like the Dash 9 missed the Dash 1 amendment.
Oh.
As I said, we have the dash one.
And we have it.
Well, we have the dash one, and we could adopt the dash one independently of the dash nine, and then when the council puts all together, it could become the big combined amendment and works that way. And of course, council will have the way of to combine it in the way that does not conflict with each other.
And of course, that's the key language in the bill, isn't it?
That's one of the main things that we've introduced to the bill. Yes.
Now, there's no reason why we can't adopt both the one and the nine, is there?
No, there is no.
But we don't have the required paperwork for the one and the nine.
Well, the one and the nine, Mr. Chair, are assumed in the, I believe, in the fiscal statement.
I see. The fiscal statement was written on the assumption that nine was going to include the ones.
We've kind of alluded to this
to
the fiscal office and also the revenue statement, but then, of course, we have all these reservations that things did not, just to be technically correct in all of these, we had the dash nine.
All right, this is a simple, this is not a revenue-raising bill.
No.
It simply tells the state treasurer how to manage bonds under the unusual circumstances that we had in September and October of last year. Colleagues, what's your pleasure? Representative Bailey?
Chair, are we going to hear from the treasurer?
Do you want to?
Nope.
Is
we're good. Mr. Chair, I move the dash nines dated 4-27-09 to House Bill 2105.
Representative Bailey moves the dash nine amendments to House Bill 2105. Is there discussion? Is there any objection to the dash nines? Seeing none, it's so ordered. Representative Bailey?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment stated 3-12-09 to House Bill 2105.
Representative Bailey moves the dash one amendment, and I assume the assumption is that both of these sets of amendments will be integrated into the bill. All right. Is there any discussion of the dash one amendment? Any objection to the inclusion of the dash one in the bill? I don't see any, so that one's adopted. Representative Bailey?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2105 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Bailey moves House Bill 2105 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection to that motion? Wow.
Got one.
Okay. Motion is carried without objection, and the bill goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Who would like to carry this bill? If I don't get any hands, I'll carry it myself, but Representative Bailey will carry. Perfect. Representative Bailey will carry.
Representative Wonk, the economist.
Either the chair gets to carry it or the Wonk gets to do it. So we'll give it to Representative Bailey, who isn't the Wonk, but is really actually very, very good. And so we'll have him carry the bill. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2105. Is there anything else to come before the committee? We have two public hearings tomorrow, which we plan to combine, and I don't believe there's anything else. With that, committee is adjourned. Thank you very much for coming in late today, committee.